This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
The future is now, and the future doesn't like us. Self-driving, dystopic, tax you while you drive, surveillance cars rolling out. They cost more, and they're rip-offs. That's what 250-square-foot coffin apartments are about. You pay more than you would for a 2,000-square-foot apartment under their plan. It's all about raping you, but calling it trendy. And then all the good trendies, the little car, the little coffin apartment, and they're all proud of themselves. It's fun to be a chump. Andy in Maine, thank you for calling on this Friday worldwide transmission.
Hey, Alex. Listen, I had a couple of ideas I wanted to put out there. First of all, I know in my voting district here in Maine, all of the volunteers are elderly people. And I really think that it would be good if we put out there that if you have the time, volunteer at your voting station so that you can be on hand. Also, I think it would be a good idea maybe to organize exit polls in at your district.
Yes.
You're there to actually do an exit poll yourself to account for these votes. I'm posting a group on Facebook that's going to be called, and I'm posting it in the next half hour, called Vote Protectors. And I'd like to invite everybody to go there so that we can at least have a discussion about it.
Absolutely. I mean, I wish I had the money to have reporters in, like, all 7 or 8 battleground states at the key counties that are always contested to have Leanne McAdoo, Joe Biggs, David Knight. I mean, I'm going to send reporters 50 feet away from the polling place and wherever it's legal and lawful, and then talk to folks, who'd you vote for? Now, that's what you're supposed to do to check the integrity. I remember with Pat Buchanan, was it 1996, but I was working in there. I was even paid, like, I think $2 an hour as part of it. And I didn't want the money, but that's part of it. And I remember Pat Buchanan had, like, 70% of the vote, but at the end of the night, they said he had, like, 5% or something. And everyone knew they'd stolen it from Pat Buchanan. We could see on the Scantron, bubbled in Pat Buchanan for the Republican nominee. But they stole it. There were Pat Buchanan signs everywhere. Well, here's the deal. Trump's got the money and the system to fight it. What are you expecting to happen? What's your gut tell you?
Well, my gut tells me that Hillary will do anything that she can. I mean, she has so many operatives out there, and we have to, at a grassroots level, locally, in your own district, where you live, whoever is listening right now, take an action. You know, you talked about getting a radio show of your own and all that, but you know what? This is something that is simple. It's easy. You just have to commit to it in your district. If you're going to
all you do is call the county clerk or the head of elections, and they tell you where to come sign up, and you'll get put in there. And listen, when they're stealing it, they'll say, no cameras. Everyone turn cameras off. That's when you videotape, and you get that out. And I'm telling you, we get enough of these when they're stealing them. There'll be an investigation, a Supreme Court situation, which is why they killed Scalia, so it could go for Hillary. I'm telling you, they got it set up. But I'm telling you, we'll show them stealing it if we got enough people inside the central systems, not just at the precinct levels. We need to be precinct, but more importantly, the central hub of your county is where the dirty deed's going to go down.
Absolutely. I also wanted to mention how encouraged I am, because I have a 14-year-old. I know you have a son about the same age, and how encouraged I am by the number of awake kids in that age group, in the high school level. And
I'm starting to interrupt you. You're just making all these bombshell points. You're such a great caller. I'll hold you over so you can have more points if you want to. But listen, my son is 13, about to be 14, and my older daughter's 12. They say everybody at the school basically listens to me, and I talk to other folks around the country. They say InfoWars is super hot with young people.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you, my son, he has a Instagram page called Northeast.conservative at Instagram, and they shut him down. They censored and suspended his account for things just for simple Hillary commentary and me.
But that's going to teach him to fight back even harder, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a huge fan of Milo, and when he heard he got banned from Twitter, he thought it was the greatest thing ever, because that goes to show
you. Let me ask you this question, then we'll go to our guest. I'm going to come back, but I want you to finish up talking about what has your son done to get other platforms, his own platform, so they can't censor him, because that's the answer.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Honey, I'm really worried about our retirement funds.
Oh, me too. We lost so much value in the recession and the stock market. I'm worried we won't have enough to retire.
Jim next door told me that he had set up a new kind of IRA with the Gold Silver Group. He said how simple and safe it was. It's a private storage IRA, and we could have real gold and silver in our hands.
Really? You mean we can actually see it and touch it?
Absolutely. Jim said we could have all the benefits of an IRA to help build our retirement income. Bottom line, we would own a real tangible asset, and we would have the security of knowing we're protected no matter what the economy does. What do you think?
I think we need to find out how to get our own private storage IRA. We need to call the Gold Silver Group right now.
Are you ready to protect your future? Call 800-421-3432 now to find out how easy and safe it is to set up a private storage IRA with Gold Silver Group and find out how you can qualify for up to $700 in free silver. All transactions are privately delivered and fully insured. Please call us now. 800-421-3432. 800-421-3432.
If you ever wanted a great deal on a powerful solar generator but were waiting for an outrageously low price, you are not going to want to miss this important message. Here's why. My friends, we already see major power grid problems, and it's getting worse. So please listen. Solar generators really do provide life-saving electrical power. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run silently, emit no fumes or gases, and produce electricity from the sun. Whether it's dangerous summer storms, blackouts, intensifying civil unrest, you're not going to have to suffer through it like the rest of the sheep. And here's the best news if you want to get one this week. Solutions from Science has a big sale on their fast charge solar generators, and they're giving away a couple $1,000s worth of off-the-grid gear in addition to the low price for InfoWars listeners. So it's a good time to check it out. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com. It's a great opportunity to generate maximum electricity with minimum money. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com.
The British are coming! The British are coming!
Now the ride of Paul Revere sets the nation on its ear. And the shock at Lexington heard round the world. When the British fired in the early dawn, the War of Independence had begun. The die was cast, the rebel flag unfurled. And on to Concord marched the foe to seize the arsenal there, you know. Waking folks, searching all around. Till our militia stopped them in their tracks. At the old North Bridge, we turned them back and chased those redcoats back to Boston town.
And the shock around the world was the start of the revolution. The men and women were ready on the move. Take your powder, take your gun, report to General Washington. Hurry, men, there's not an hour to lose.
It happened that they had planned, if the British was ever to come over here, that they'd put a light up in this high church steeple. And Paul went down there to look. And sure enough, there was the light, burning brighter than day. Well, Paul, he jumped on his old horse and he lit out. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew he had to go somewhere. Oh, I wish you could have seen it. That old horse with his ears laid back and his nostrils wide open, sucking in wind like a jet engine, feet pounding on them cobblestones, striking off sparks. Paul holding on for dear life and hollering at the top of his lungs. He says, the British is coming, the British is coming. Get you a gun, we're going to have us a revolution. And them farmers come a-piling out of the hay like bees out of a beehive. Minutemen, they're called.
What's Minuteman?
Minutemen? There's fellas that had to be ready at a minute's notice. And when Paul comes screeching down the road that way, they grab their guns and hid out behind the weeds and walls and trees and everywhere. And when the British come prancing along all dressed up in their red suits, they let them have it. It was a sight to see. And then it happened.
They fired the gun.
And the shot was so loud, it was heard clear around the world.
Oh, get out. That's the way this country started.
For now, into the third hour of this worldwide broadcast. The fourth hour is coming up that Rob Dew will be hosting. Again, if you're new to the show, I do 3 hours every day. Then one of our other great reporters, researchers, or guest host does the fourth hour. Many times I co-host with them. Then we have the nightly news, 7 o'clock Central, Infowars.com/show. And now many TV stations and cable systems are picking it up, even though I haven't gotten to the phase of really promoting that yet. And what's also happened is a lot of radio affiliates are picking up the nightly news that's an hour long and carrying it. I never expected that. But we have innovated a lot of stuff in media. I didn't go out and get a cable channel like Glenn Beck did. That's one reason he's going bankrupt. In fact, I've been offered his channel. That's how I knew he was in financial trouble 3 years ago. I was offered it behind the scenes for much less than he got it. And I said, no, I don't want to be channel 2000 and something and say I have the Alex Jones channel because the audiences are so small, maybe 50,000, 100,000 an hour. I can shoot YouTube videos, you know, to get a million views in an hour. I mean, it's just crazy. So, again, we are free to air, though, on a satellite system that costs us $300,000 a year that UHF, VHF, and cable systems say they like the best. We also are on a file-sharing system that they can also get us on, and that's our next phase, is pushing that. I've been so focused on just fighting the globalists and fighting for open, free elections in this country that we are about 6 months behind on that project. But we're ahead on other projects, but that's very, very exciting. So I'll also be back doing the Sunday radio / TV show, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, live in studio, as we do every Sunday. We have a man who I ran into when I was out on the street in Cleveland at the RNC, who I've had on several times many years ago, who really has one of the most informative news vignettes I've ever seen, and that's the American Minute, AmericanMinute.com. We'll talk to Bill Fetter here in about 3 minutes. Briefly, there's a lot of news I didn't cover today. I've dropped the ball because I've been so focused on the Financial Times of London, the BBC, the Economist, the Washington Post, saying world government's in trouble, the New World Order's in trouble. They actually say that, and that Hillary must be elected. Clearly she stole the nomination. That's admitted. We have superdelegates on the website admitting it. They're very proud of it. Before it happened. And now they've done it. So she's going to try to steal it. And Trump knows that. So what do we do to fight back against this? I think that's a main focus. And I'm going to be hammering this. But separately, it's happening. We're getting conditioned. Even though we know about all this corruption, we just get used to them lying to us, used to Hillary stealing elections, and accustomed every 2 or 3 days to a cop getting executed. Several got shot in San Diego. One's dead. One's fighting for their lives. And there's the customary people online. We have stories on Infowars.com celebrating the dead cop. And this is the White House. Every time somebody gets killed, you know, they say, well, the cops need to reform. San Diego police shooting. One officer killed. One rushed to surgery in another ambush. And this is what's going on. And whether it's Islamic or whether it's another Black Lives Matter affiliated group, they always try to cover it up why they did it as long as possible. If your name's Ali, they change it to David. If you're a black national, they call it a right-wing attack. I mean, this is the 1984 level we've reached. And we're going to be talking to Bill here in a minute about all of this and about the history of this country and how we rediscover it. We'll know why the globalists want to demonize it so much, because it's the antidote to their world system. There's two world systems in competition, centralized conquest and open free market. We never fully realized the open free market, but the little bit we did revolutionized the world. So we'll be talking to him in 2 minutes. But Andy in Maine, your son, you said, had a popular Instagram and that it got banned. This has happened to family of mine. that even put up mild things critical of Hillary, because they really don't want young people having their free speech. They want to teach you that they're going to censor you like Facebook's been doing. The answer to that is getting a YouTube channel, starting a bunch of Facebook channels, fighting back. YouTube tried to censor us last week. I threatened to sue them. They backed off. I'm not looking for trouble, but we have to keep the Internet open and free. Go ahead and finish your story.
Absolutely. Again, northeast.conservatives at Instagram. And I'm going to put Cameron on the phone with you, Alex. Hold on.
Sure. But is it back up, or, I mean, how long do they censor it?
Hi, this is Cameron. I run the account, and it's been up for about since June 16th now. But before that, we had two other accounts. This is our third one.
I understand. So as you get popular, they take it down and teach you how open and tolerant they are.
Yeah. Once we start saying stuff about Hillary in particular, it gets shut down. Like,
well, the answer is to screenshot your old site, put YouTube videos up about what they did, doppelgang it with Facebook, but also your own website, as Drudge says. You must have your own platform to make it easy for you to go to them so they can control you. Have your own platform, your own base, that you then launch information warfare attacks with the truth into their systems. But when you go into the Matrix, you've got to jack in. You've got to have your own ship. So I'm telling you, I want you to go to the next level. I want you to start your own website. Go take a class if you need to, but they're really easy, and start pointing out that you're being censored, you're being controlled, and listen, make it a whole career. This is the answer, what you're doing right now.
Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you. That's pretty much it.
Tell folks your site now while it's still up. They want to intimidate young people. This is how authoritarian they are.
Yeah. Exactly. My dad also says to go onto his Facebook page, The Vote Protectors.
All right. God bless you.
He's getting it started, too. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We need to see young people just out there reporting with their own video camera. Everybody just go have your own YouTube. Say, I'm out here doing, exit polls. Just do it. Just do it, and we'll have eyes everywhere, and it's game over. I'm skipping this network break. Okay. He joins us. Bill Federer. William J. Federer is a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amera Research, Inc., a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. And they got films, documentaries, books. It's just amazing. Some of this is used in my children's schooling. Bill's America's Minute radio feature is broadcast daily across America and on the Internet. His Faith in History television airs on the TCT network on stations across America and via DirecTV, AmericanMinute.com. Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
Alex, great to be with you.
Well, Hillary's just openly stolen the nomination. They admit Sanders was the winner. You hear about all the censorship going on against patriots, just Americana folks that are classical liberals. They call us conservatives. Where would you say our republic is right now?
Well, you hit upon it when you talked about the concentrated power and then the free market, the separated power. And this is a theme that goes back to the beginning of recorded human history. So writing was invented around 3,000 or 4,000 BC, Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets in the Mesopotamian Valley. That's 3,000 or 4,000 BC. We're around 2,080. So that's around 6,000 years of recorded human history, which is not that long. It's only 60 people living 100 years each back to back. So we're basically talking 60 grandmas, and you're all the way back to the beginning of recorded human history. But what do we see in these records? 2,000 years, 33 major Egyptian dynasties ruled by pharaohs. 5,000 years, 18 major Chinese dynasties ruled by emperors. Cyrus of Persia, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, Alexander the Great, Indian Maharajas, Julius Caesar, the Byzantine emperors, Muslim sultans, African chieftains, King Kamehameha, and then, of course, these global empires, right? Genghis Khan killed 30 million people from Korea to Hungary, and then the King of Spain, France, and Austria. But the most powerful king in recorded history was the King of England, and he controlled 13 million square miles and 500 million people. Now, I do point out that communism is nothing more than monarchy. Every communist country has a dictator: Stalin, Pol Pot, Ho Chi Minh, Castro, Mao Zedong. The Communist Party members.
North Korea is a hereditary dictatorship.
Yeah, and the Communist Party members are the new royalty, and then the people are the peasants. So basically, socialism, communism is a monarchy makeover. But there's this undeniable trend for power to want to concentrate. Now, our founders, when they had a chance to set up a government, they wanted to run as far away from a king as possible. They took the power of a king, broke it into three branches, separated it federal to state level, tied up this federal Frankenstein with 10 handcuffs. It was Eisenhower that used that Frankenstein term. He said the states created the federal government, but Frankenstein-like, the creature wants to destroy the creators. And so there's this trend of gravity wanting to pull the satellite back down. And so it was good that Lincoln ended slavery, but in the process, a lot of rights went from the states to the federal government. It was good that Franklin Roosevelt wanted to end the Depression, but he concentrates power with his New Deal programs. It was good that Lyndon Johnson wanted to end poverty, but he concentrates power with his welfare state and Nixon's war on drugs. And Bush, it was good he stopped more terrorist attacks, but he concentrated power with the NSA and the Patriot Act. And now the new president, no matter what the crisis is, the answer is the same. He doesn't have time to be limited by Congress. He has his pen and his phone, and he wants to concentrate power. And so this is a natural trend, but you have philosophers that actually want to speed it along. Machiavelli, Hegel, Karl Marx, Saul Alinsky. And just in a nutshell, Machiavelli lived 500 years ago in Italy. Italy was a bunch of city-states, Venice, Genoa, Naples, Florence, Siena. They all had armies and navies and fought. And Machiavelli thought if one prince could control all of Italy, it would stop this infighting. So he writes a book called The Prince, where he advocates the ends justifies the means. The end of one prince controlling all of Italy is such a good end, because it'll stop this infighting, that any means necessary to get there is justified. Lie, cheat, steal. So if a prince conquers a city, the city would hate him. But if the prince paid criminals to kill cows and burn barns and create crisis and terror, the people would cry out for help. The prince would come in and get rid of the very people he bribed. Nobody would know the better for it, and everyone would praise the prince as a hero. And it's actually good marketing. You create the need and fill it. You go around the back of the house and set it on fire, and then you go around the front of the house and sell them a fire extinguisher.
And that's Cloward and Piven, which has been adopted by the Democrats to bankrupt the country so they can then take it over.
Right, and they get to be the heroes in the process of taking it over. And this Machiavellian strategy influenced someone named...
And that's why they brought in 5 million radical Islamics into Europe, 80% military-aged men. Now that they attack, I said this 2 years ago, now they attack, they declare civil emergency and arrest Germans and Swedes and Frenchmen that criticize the Islamic invasion. So the very government that brings it in is now the hero taking your rights but still won't fight it.
Another term that you described is called psychological projection, blame shifting, where the attacker blames the victim. So the person that is accusing the other of being racist, the accuser is actually the racist one. Somebody's saying, well, you're rich people, class warfare. Well, it's the accuser. There's a David Axelrod. I actually saw him at the Republican National Convention and said hi to him. And anyway, he was on NPR Radio 2010, and he said, in Chicago politics, we have a tradition where you throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent.
Sure, and that later got put into the House of Cards. That later got put into House of Cards.
And, wanted to throw in Hegel really quick. Napoleon conquers Prussia, a German province, so easily that the king said, we can't let that happen again. We need to strengthen the state. And so Hegel was the philosophical basis. He says, the state is God walking on earth. And he came up with Hegelian dialectics, a way to concentrate power. And it's a triangle. One corner is a thesis, the opposite is an antithesis or antithesis, and the top corner is a synthesis.
And didn't he just codify the whole false flag of Machiavelli?
You've got it. And it sounds complicated, but it's actually simple. You start off, you create a problem that's real bad, and everybody is happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad. Then that becomes the new thesis starting point, and you create another problem that's real bad, and everybody's happy to settle for your answer that's half as bad. You do this over and over till you move from the people ruling themselves to a king. And so Karl Marx applied Hegelian dialectics to politics. How do you create a problem that's real bad? You send in organizers, agent provocateurs, provoking agents, agitators. Their goal is to find those who have grievances and tension right under the surface, and you stir them up to riot and have random killing and bloodshed, and then everybody is willing and begging some strong leader to come in and restore order.
And I don't think I've ever seen in U.S. politics since I've been alive, or just in history, period, a time when the Democratic Party particularly is literally invoking classic Hegelian dialectic destabilization program. Let me ask you if you agree with that statement, and then B, Mr. Federer, AmericanMinute.com, is it going well for them?
Well, you're hitting it right on the head, and I applaud you for speaking and explaining this to the public. I find so many people, Lenin called, he used the term useful idiots, people that are actually caught up in thinking that the issue is what they're talking about. Saul Alinsky, quote David Horowitz quoted from him, he says, the issue is never the issue. The issue is revolution. And so what Karl Marx did, he would send in these agitators, and they would organize the proletariat against the bourgeois, the working class against the business owners. They'd organize the blacks against the whites, the Muslims against the Christians, the Catholics against the Protestants, the Hutus against the Tutsis in the Congo and Rwanda. They really don't care who the two sides are, and they don't care what the issues are. They just want a destabilizing crisis that's so bad that everybody begs a strong leader. Now, it actually works best if the people are not Christian. Why? Napoleon said, religion is what keeps the poor from murdering the rich. So if you have poor Christians, they'll just forgive. They'll just, suffer. And
that's why globalists target Christians worldwide, real Christians, because they don't conform to this dialectic.
Right. And so you get these people that have raw human passion, and you say, you've been wronged. You want what they have, follow me, you'll get it. And once there's a destabilization of social order is when this strong leader usurps power. And
is that why Muslims seem to be the perfect patsies?
Well, yes, Muhammad used this tactic. He would come into a town with their scimitar swords, and they would do random violence, and the town would say, well, what do we have to do to stop you? He would say, submit. And they go, okay, well, we submit. What does that mean? Okay, men, get your sword and your horse, follow me to the next town. And so the larger group would go to the next town, and they do random violence, and the people say, what do we got to do to stop you? And they say, submit. And then he say, okay, get
so
your sword and horse.
So it's called terrorism. He's been employing terrorism for 1,400 years.
Yeah, and now there's lots of Muslims who have backslidden, but every now and then you get those wanting to follow Muhammad's example. We call that getting radicalized. And so Muhammad wrote a book how he transitioned from being a religious leader for 12 years in the pagan city of Mecca, and he is not very successful. He only makes 70 converts in 12 years. And so the people of Mecca decide that Muhammad is a disturber of the peace because he's getting confrontational. They chase him out of town. Muhammad has nowhere to go. He is a Muslim refugee. He goes 210 miles north to a Jewish city called Medina. The Jews are nice and tolerant. They let Muhammad in as a Muslim immigrant. He goes into the minority neighborhoods, and he organizes a following amongst those who have grievances against this Jewish-controlled city. And he gets a following, right, organizing in the community. And when the following is big enough, he goes to the Jews and pressures them to accommodate him and his followers politically. The Jews do, and now Muhammad is a political leader in addition to being a religious leader. Then Muhammad's followers in Mecca get confrontational, argument, threatening. They get chased out of town for disturbing the peace. They're Muslim refugees. They go to Medina, the Jewish city. They're nice. They let Muhammad's followers in as Muslim immigrants. And Muhammad allows his followers to rob the caravans headed to Mecca in retaliation for the Meccans chasing them out of town. So where Jesus said, if they take your coat, give them your shirt, Muhammad's attitude was, if they take your house, you retaliate, take their caravan. So Muhammad had 300 warriors, and they would rob caravans. He got a whole chapter of the Quran, it's Surah 8, chapter 8, on how to distribute booty from robbing
caravans.
And
then we wonder why all this is happening, and then as soon as the Muslim mayor gets elected in London, he starts restricting free speech, says he's going to ignore the law. They're following a program of conquest. Why does the left merge so seamlessly with the totalitarian Orthodox Islam, because they claim they're all liberal, but there is a love fest between the technocratic folks and Islam.
David Horowitz said that the union between the radical left and radical Islam is the most dangerous thing that's happening in our era. And so the radical left hates Judeo-Christian values. They hate the concept of the individual. They want everybody to conform to the state. And Islam hates Judeo-Christian values, and they want everybody to conform. So they sort of see themselves as partners against traditional Judeo-Christian values.
Yeah, they hate the West because it's open. They can't compete with it. So they got to blow it up and bring in their system of tyranny. They cannot compete with the free market. They cannot compete with classical liberalism.
Now, there's no honor among thieves. They don't like each other. Sort of like you see those movies where, you know, a couple bank robbers will rob the bank and they're dividing up the money. And the one pulls out a gun and shoots the other and he gets to keep all the money, right? So they don't trust each other, but they'll use each other against the West. But it is, we've always thought of communism on one side, Islam on the other side. Well, the Muslim Brotherhood is a cross-pollinization.
Wow, Bill Federer, you were on many years ago. I don't know how it fell through the cracks. You're just a superstar of history. I hope you'll start coming on routinely. Come back and let's talk more about this, and we'll take calls. Thank you, sir.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Today, I became a biophoton woman. I put a tablespoon of the Andreas 5-seed oil in my morning's One World Way drink and was still happy and energized at 3 p.m. Normally, I feel tired and spacey at the end of the day, but today I felt energy and very clear. My friend at the farmer's market asked what I was on. She said my eyes looked bright and I had unusual energy for that time of afternoon. I told her there was a magical oil that enables my body to absorb the sun's energy as if I were a plant. She said, I want some. The second One World Way shake with the oil when I got home took me to bedtime with that wonderful, abundant energy. I couldn't believe how much I got done and how great I felt. The combination of One World Way and 5-seed oil produced a significant health event in my life, the kind that makes you feel you've been given your life back with a bonus, and I'm 64.
5-seed oil and One World Way for your fantastic health. Call 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com.
If you ever wanted a great deal on a powerful solar generator, but were waiting for an outrageously low price, you are not going to want to miss this important message. Here's why. My friends, we already see major power grid problems, and it's getting worse. So please listen. Solar generators really do provide life-saving electrical power. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run silently, emit no fumes or gases, and produce electricity from the sun. Whether it's dangerous summer storms, blackouts, intensifying civil unrest, you're not going to have to suffer through it like the rest of the sheep. And here's the best news if you want to get one this week. Solutions from Science has a big sale on their fast charge solar generators, and they're giving away a couple $1,000s worth of off-the-grid gear in addition to the low price for InfoWars listeners. So it's a good time to check it out. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com. It's a great opportunity to generate maximum electricity with minimum money. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
Want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
Five times over a decade ago, and then I saw him at the RNC, and it was like seeing an old cousin or somebody that you hadn't seen in forever, and you forgot what good friends you were with him. Well, in this case, I've read his books to my children, I've shown his lectures to them, I've seen here and there on cable, heard him here and there on the radio for, gosh, it's got to be 25 years. I mean, before I was even on air, unless I'm wrong, I mean, I remember Bill Federer, and so it was just like, wow, this guy deserves to be heard, because I know history. And this guy knows what he's talking about, like, squared, you know, to the next level to what I know. And I know way more than most people, and then I feel ignorant, because history's so big. You meet this guy and read his stuff, I mean, it is dead on. And so we just talked during the break. We're going to start carrying his American Minute here on the radio and TV and also clips of his larger lectures. He's got a new book, The Rise of a Tyrant. We're going to talk about that for about 10 minutes and go to your phone calls and let him go. But just important work, AmericanMinute.com. Now, before we go back to him, we're running the biggest sale in our history. Once a year, we do a super sale fundraiser. And we do it with 40% off great vitamins, minerals, nutraceuticals, Hillary for prison shirts, great air filters. Technology's gotten so good. It's normally about $250 for $180. Comparable units are $400 or more. I'm going to tell you, because 3 years ago, I bought units that were almost $1,000 that are basically the same. So stuff's getting less expensive, but still, most people gouge you for similar units for $400. It's $180, Alexa Pure Breeze, 20% off regular retail that is still a steal. Water filtration systems that are gravity-fed, Alexa Pure Pro, no association with me. This is just the best unit out there. Those are 20% off. Pro Pure water filters that are excellent, 20% off. InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsLife.com for the supplements. And, again, all of those purchases make what we do here possible with the news teams, the reporters, the crew. And we are doing everything we can to just really, really bust our butts. I mean, I'll be honest. Our crew lately, the last few weeks, has been working 18 hours a day. And I haven't even had to tell them to do this because they understand what's happening is so historical. And I've never had a better crew. I've had great crews over the years, you know, 20-something years. But and some crew have been here like 15 years, like Paul Watson. But they are godsends, and I am so blessed to have them. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for spreading the word. And thank you for supporting our local AM and FM affiliates and also UHF, VHF, and cable stations. Support those sponsors. Let them know why you're supporting them. Support those stations. Send them $100. They're doing everything they can to bankrupt and shut down talk radio. They're doing everything. I've been kicked off so many stations, even though we have high ratings and make stations money. The stations go, we're sorry, Alex. They came with federal money for these federally produced programs, and we need it. It's $300,000 just to take you off the 2 hours you're on the weekend. And they apologize to me. And I say, please don't, you know, say the station, but as soon as the money's gone, we'll put you back on. I mean, they're making a move against free speech. You see the censorship everywhere, but it's not stopping us. But we're one of the biggest groups, though. Little people are getting shut down because all of you together are much bigger than InfoWars or Matt Drudge. But believe me, if they can take down Fox News, there's a coup there right now, and they're doing it. Matt Drudge is next. Alex Jones is next. So I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you, we are 2 minutes to midnight here. But it's because we're having such inroads against tyranny that the enemy's moving. So we're forcing them out in the open. All right, Bill Federer, let's get into any other key points you want to make. Get into your new book, and then I want to have you back for a full hour in the next few weeks, and we really appreciate your time.
Well, human behavior is predictable. There's a saying, past behavior is the best indicator of future performance. And so that's the advantage of learning history. Now, if you take a map of Eurasia right before America was discovered, you got China on one side. And for 5,000 years, they had 18 major Chinese dynasties. And if you wanted to have a republic or a democracy, the emperor would show up with a 100,000-man army and rip the walls down around your city. So China has really never had any experiments in self-government. The other side of the map is the Mediterranean. And you've got islands and rocks and storms. And it's very hard to have a dictatorship with all these variables. And so it's in the islands of the Mediterranean we see the next step of people experimenting.
Because there's places to hide. There's places to hide.
Right. And so if we focus on Athens, around 622 BC, Athens had a king named Draco, and he had Athens' first written laws. Now, this was a step up because prior kings could rule on their whims and caprices, and they'd kill you and take your farm. And so the people of Athens says, look, King Draco, at least write these laws down. He did, but it was the death penalty for every other thing, so they got nicknamed Draconian laws. That's where that term came from. Well, in 594 BC, they get a new king in Athens named Solon, S-O-L-O-N. Solon invented democracy. And in democracy, everybody every day had to go to the market and talk politics. And if you didn't keep up with politics every day in Athens, you were called an idiotus, an idiot. And now if there's a king, an emperor, and you have an agenda, you got to get in to see the guy. Like China, the emperor had 2,000 concubines and Mandarin eunuchs that kept them, and you'd bribe these Mandarins with money just to get in to pitch your agenda. Well, in Athens, there was no emperor. The people made the decisions. Well, if you have an agenda, how do you pitch it to the whole city? They would get the whole city together in an amphitheater and put on plays, comedies, and tragedies where they'd ridicule and buffoon certain points of view and honor and extol other points of view.
And this brought in high culture.
And from that time till now, theater and entertainment is always political in a country where it's the people making the decisions. And I could get into more of that, but someone I wanted to mention is Plato. Now, he lived in the Athenian democracy, and he said the government would go through five stages. The first stage, he said, was rule of the capable. These are people that know how to run farms and businesses. They know how to run city government. They're just responsible. They do a good job. The city grows. The second group wants to get involved in politics. Plato called them lovers of fame. And these are people that may be a Greek actor and are a Greek Olympic athlete. Everybody knew their name, and they get involved in politics not because they have responsible experience running a business, but because they were famous. Maybe like a Hollywood action figure that gets elected governor of California. You think, what did Lee Arnold run before he became governor? Nothing. He was just famous. Now, these famous people like fame, and they hate being defamed. So these you can manipulate with public opinion. So the first ones, they're going to do what's right because they're responsible. The second ones, they'll bend. And so the second group begins to yield to the human tendency of avarice, selfishness, and they vote a little money out of the city treasury to pad their retirement. They're working hard after all. They vote a little money to their brother-in-law's construction company, a little money to some supporter that can funnel it back into their campaign, and it turns into a third category, which Plato called lovers of money. It's an oligarchy. It's a rule of few. It's an insider clique, and if you're friends with the people that are inside, you get the pork projects and all the extra, you know.
And so productivity starts going down, so now things aren't going as well. Now the fourth stage.
And so it turns into this division in society, and the people finally throw the bums out and set up a democracy. This is the fourth stage. And in a democracy, everybody learns how to tolerate each other. It's great. They tolerate, you know, all kinds of behavior. Then they tolerate people that are a little bit off. Then they tolerate people that are a lot off. So finally, they're tolerating open crime and convicts and all kinds of immorality. And Plato even says this, the manner of life is that of Democrats. That's his word because he's describing a democracy. Every man does what is right in their own eyes. The young man gives into libertinism and useless and unnecessary pleasures, even incest and unnatural union. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. And they throw off restraint. And it's just anything goes, and then they raid the city treasury, and now there's a shortage. And they say, where can we get more money? The rich people. They tax it from the rich people.
So in comes the tyrant.
And then it turns into this chaos. They have a shortage, and well, don't cut back on what I'm used to getting. And it turns into this tug of war and anarchy. And then they begin to say, can't someone come along and fix this mess? And that's the fifth stage. Someone comes along, Plato called him. First, he appears above ground as the protector, and he's very eloquent and persuasive and gives these great speeches, and people fall in love with him. And then they notice he's beginning to concentrate power too much, and he loses in the public opinion polls, and they cast it in his teeth that he's getting too powerful, and he has a choice. Give up the power, which he's not inclined to do, because Plato called him a lover of power, or get rid of the people confronting him. So he purges his military and his administration of anybody that has virtue. He doesn't want people with virtue. He wants yes men. And then who does he get to be his new friends now that he got rid of the old ones? He frees the slaves, the convicts, the criminals, the illegal aliens, and he arms them, and they become his mob that he sends around to punish anybody that disagrees with him politically. And so here's what Plato wrote. And the protector of the people, having a mob entirely at his disposal, he is not restrained from shedding the blood of kinsmen by the favorite method of false accusations. He brings them into court and murders them. And so he uses this power of the state to go after his political enemies. And finally, he stands in the chariot of state, holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant.
And then over time, the society declines. But the weird thing about Plato is, and I've read his Republic and other writings, and of course, he's the model of everything today, is it's very dual, because he'll admit all this bad stuff, but then talk about eugenics and getting rid of masses of people because we're crushing the breast of the earth. And then, you know, he also pushed some really tyrannical stuff because he understands all of this. He talks about Plato's cave and, you know, how we're controlled. I mean, it's all genius, obviously. But I don't know if duality is the word or the paradox of Plato. Can you speak to that, Bill Federer?
Right. He said that democracy is a temporary form of government because people really don't have virtue. If they're given the choice of giving up their virtue or giving up their life.
So you have to have a republic that guards certain codes so the mob can't vote the other half be their slaves.
Right. And so he says the best you can hope for is a nice tyrant. And he called him a philosopher king. But then he says this. He says, the tyrant, then comes the famous request for a bodyguard with his, in other words, there's threats on this tyrant's life, and the people are all concerned about him, and they let him, this is a false coup. This is like what happened in Turkey, right? And so there's this threat on the guy's life. And, you know, Sergei Kirov is a famous Russian that was praising Stalin. And Stalin was a little threatened by him because he was getting too popular. But Stalin also had another problem of these anti-Stalinists. And so Stalin had an idea. He would murder his friend, Sergei Kirov. Nobody would blame him because they're such close friends. And everybody would blame these anti-Stalinists. And so he murders them, blames it on the anti-Stalinists, uses that as an excuse to purge the Soviet Union of over 1 million people. And so this is this staged coup type of thing.
Bill Federer, absolutely. That's exactly what we're talking about now. That's happened in Turkey. Expanding on that then, looking at this, what phase would you say we're in right now? Because obviously these phases are in flux. Things are so complex now. There's pieces of every phase. Thomas Jefferson first, you know, he talked about the yeoman farmer. He said we've got to stay decentralized, we've got to stay local, and we've got to stay near the earth or we'll become decadent slobs. He believed, as a classical liberal, that that was the way to basically short-circuit this slouch towards Gomorrah. Can you speak to that as a historian?
Well, when the public opinion of the quote-unquote protector begins to go down, then he throws off the charade. Why try to give this fake front that he's in favor of the people? He just throws it off and he becomes a dictator. And so it's like a cornered animal, and when they really get in the corner, the fangs come out. And if they, we think, oh, Republicans get a turn, Democrats get a turn. We're talking global power. We're talking the 6,000-year quest.
Now, Hillary may openly steal the election. I mean, she is already stole the nomination. She's already committing crimes. She's already by the law. She is a tyrant ready delivered. I believe if she's put in office, she will become Tyrannus Maximus.
She's would extract retribution on all those that disagree with her. It's sort of like electrons. What we're seeing is it's a struggle. Is it power from the bottom up or power from the top down? You know, King Louis the 14th was called the Sun King, and his subjects were the planets that revolved around him. Louis the 14th said, "I am the state," and he even said, "It is the law because I wish it." Lo and behold, the law was just the king's will.
So let it be written, so let it be done.
In America, we said, we don't like that. We want law from the bottom up. And so what we're experiencing right now is this electronic polarity struggle. Is it going to be...
So you agree, we're in a galactic crossroads of flux point. Which way do you see the tea leaves going?
I have to look at it from somewhat of a spiritual perspective to get any hope. And it's, what stories do we like in the Bible? Well, it's David against Goliath. It's Moses against Pharaoh. It's, you know, Gideon against 100,000 men. In other words, it looks hopeless. And then little nobodies with faith and courage stand up and things turn around. And that's what I'm hoping for and praying for. If I looked at it strictly from the natural, you think, gee, from Nimrod and the Tower of Babel to Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, these empires keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, clearly with a global perspective as an ultimate goal. You know, the George Soros wanting to, and so this.
And by the way,
trend.
You know, George Soros is proud of his Nazi collaborating, 60 Minutes, and I've read his writings where he says he believes he's a messiah and a Christ. He's clearly a megalomaniac mental patient. I mean, why isn't he locked up?
Well, I mentioned before that I lived in Missouri. I was half an hour from Ferguson. 99% of the people rioting in Ferguson were not from Ferguson. They were all brought in, part of the old Occupy Wall Street people, but it was more Missourians organizing for reform and empowerment. And you can go to Snopes, and it even says it's a George Soros-funded group. He put $30 million into it, and they organized the rioters. They actually advertise in Chicago papers, you know, go to Missouri and organize.
Not to empower black people, but make them be the detonator switch to bring in tyranny, and then they'll get the blame.
Yeah, I mean, the mayor of Ferguson worked on my campaign when I ran for Congress back in the year 2000. I ran against Dick Gephardt. And so the scenario is you have a Democrat governor that tells the National Guard to stand down and let them riot for 3 days till it makes national news. Then you say our local police departments are inadequate. We need to federalize them. Strong Cities Initiative, shared data with the federal government, and then the same people are moved to Baltimore. It's a rent-a-mob, and the Democrat mayor lets them do $1 billion worth of damage, and afterwards they say our local police department's inadequate. We need to federalize it. And so they're going 53 cities now, Denver, Colorado, and they're coming in, setting oversight. And basically it's giving the federal government, Department of Justice, Homeland Security, control over the local police departments. In other words, it's giving the president a standing army.
Bill, I tell you, I really want to get you back for a full hour in the near future. I'm going to go to break and take a few calls here for folks that have been holding. Really amazing, AmericanMinute.com. I'm really excited to hear you're going to join us once a month on the radio, once a month on the nightly news, and talk about all the books you've written and the e-books and the DVDs and the fiction. This is something everybody, in fact, I've given this to my children years ago. I'm like, wow, Bill Federer, I've got to go get all, I'm not just pitching this, it's true, folks. I mean, he's not a sponsor. I'm really doing this. I've got to go get some more of your audio CDs and MP3 files for my children. They love this type of information. My daughters and my son, they're so informed because of your work and others. And so there's just so many great jewels like yourself out there. And I hope that people will go get these materials and really discover that humans live 75 years on average, as the Bible says. And we all think we're really different, but at the end of the day, we all kind of do the same stuff over and over again. And there are manipulators who know this knowledge but use it against people. And just knowing real psychology, real history, history is real psychology. That's an Alex Jones quote. History is real psychology, not pop disinformation. And if you know it, you know how we act. Just in business, knowing history, knowing human nature, I'm so much more successful in the fight for liberty. And I just wish the general public knew that knowing history gets you ahead, not behind. 30 seconds, Bill Federer.
Well, I just want to thank you for having the courage to bring all this to light. And, you know, I think you're one of the ones that's being raised up to educate our country. And there's always hope, but there's something for every single person to do. You know, our founders flipped it, and they made the people the king and the politicians the servants. And so those that are listening to this program, you're the king. The politicians are your
that's
servants.
Right. And if we throw that away, we deserve to be slaves. Bill, have a great weekend. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
We're talking to Bill Federer very soon. Your call straight ahead in the fourth hour with Rob Dude. Infowars.com.
Is the recession really over? Is a bigger one on the way? Will our next president lead us to prosperity and peace, or will it all fall apart? Our modern world is unpredictable and unstable. Are you ready for what comes next? What if the worst happens? Will your family have enough food? Willing to gamble that nothing bad will ever happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, in recognition of the July 4th holiday, get a 20% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for up to 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-803-5505. 800-803-5505.
If you ever wanted a great deal on a powerful solar generator but were waiting for an outrageously low price, you are not going to want to miss this important message. Here's why. My friends, we already see major power grid problems, and it's getting worse. So please listen. Solar generators really do provide life-saving electrical power. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run silently, emit no fumes or gases, and produce electricity from the sun. Whether it's dangerous summer storms, blackouts, intensifying civil unrest, you're not going to have to suffer through it like the rest of the sheep. And here's the best news if you want to get one this week. Solutions from Science has a big sale on their fast charge solar generators, and they're giving away a couple thousand dollars worth of off-the-grid gear in addition to the low price for InfoWars listeners. So it's a good time to check it out. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com. It's a great opportunity to generate maximum electricity with minimum money. Go to GridWars.com. That's GridWars.com.
Dr. Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize for discovering how cells breathe. He also discovered how normal cells turn into tumor cells. He discovered the one prime cause of cancer was cellular oxygen deficiency. Dr. Joanna Budwig built upon the work of Dr. Warburg and discovered how to feed the cells to overcome this oxygen deficiency. She found that it was the sulfur in the cottage cheese that when mixed with fresh pressed flax oil, that the flax oil would become emulsified and more readily absorbed. Flax oil delivered in this manner was able to restore oxygen transfer to all cells of the body. Now there's a new method of pressing seed oils that produces the highest quality, zero oxidation, undamaged seed oils. The results on these seed oils alone are amazing. Now add our Life Force Enhanced One World Whey Protein Powder that is much higher in the sulfur amino acids than cottage cheese is, and you have a winning combination to confer health and energy like never before. Call 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
have swore.
I have sworn on the altar of God eternal resistance against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. I have personally pledged that. And I tell you, when you actually pledge something and then you do it, there's something spiritual, interdimensional that happens. The universe opens up. And providence begins to rear its head. And then the real magic starts. Unfortunately, most people turn themselves into pawns. I don't want to be a pawn. I don't want you to be a pawn. I want you to be successful. I want you to be free. And then I want you to treat me with respect as well. You look at the slaves of the Democrats, and the Republicans are horrible as well. But you notice the Republicans didn't go along with stealing the nomination. There's more virtue there just because of the top people that support it, not the leadership. And you look at the minions of the Democrats, even when they mean well, these people are broken. They're fallen. And it's because that's how the system wants them. We can't look at those people and get in power trips and go, boy, look how smart we are compared to them. And no, because their falling brings us down with them. Hillary Clinton is so manifestly disingenuous, so openly corrupt, so sickeningly narcissistic, so explosively evil. She's filled with demonic criminal energy. And let me tell you something, folks. Forget worshiping police. Everybody knows that's not where I come from. I want to reform them. There's big problems. The whole government's got problems. But the police are the whipping child of all the corrupt nastiness that makes them look like choir boys. And the fact that we've all been conditioned now, some more cops got executed. Whatever. Nobody knows their names. Nobody cares. It's kind of, I mean, I know the names of the black guys getting shot. I don't know the names of the cops. And that's because the media does, I read it once or twice. It's just an example of, I am falling to their conditioning. That's just an example of Hillary openly stealing the nomination. And I'm pretty calm about it. People think I'm a freak for getting upset about it. They openly steal elections now for the first time ever, and it's no big deal. Yeah, she got a freaking hyena. When they censored it, people made this video. Laughs like an evil clown in a poltergeist. It's really sick. She always brags about killing people and how good she is at killing people. And then she's like a wimp and can hardly walk. It's like even more ridiculous. Like, the more accomplished the killer is, the more humble they are, in my experience. You get around, though, these little waddling, like, Kim Jong-un people. I mean, she's a Kim Jong-un, man. Just an insulated, entitled, demonic, pus-filled, just freakazoid with all of her little freakazoid, sycophantic wimps around her. And here's the thing, though. It's worse. We're ruled by this garbage. I'm going to go to break, come back, and do 20 minutes or so with Rob News coming in. With Brian and Todd and Gera and James and Blackbird. I mean, it's everybody. James has been holding the longest, and Brian and others, and Todd. But don't forget, we are listener supported. We're not perfect, but we love liberty. We're committed. And yes, we're crazy maniacs when it comes to fighting these people. I want to be the opposite of these folks, okay? And I am, quite frankly. I got a huge conscience. I absolutely am super emotional. And I also love to take on thugs, and I need the funding and support to do it. Buy the products. The huge sale goes throughout the weekend. Thank you for your support. InfoWarsStore.com. Stay with us. We'll be back at 70.
Visit GCNLive.com today.